The fact that Christ rose from the dead is a very important fact. And it's the fact that our faith is based on. If Christ did not lie, did not rise from the dead, we have belief in vain. Okay? What we all believe are all nonsense. But the fact that Christ rose from the dead, and this is the post-resurrection period, means a lot. It means that what we believe is true. It means that now we have the Holy Spirit and we can live in power. And it also means that we have a new era. And today I want to share about redeeming time. Psalms 90, verse 12. Redeeming time. And I think this is appropriate for all ages, not only for the older folks who have not many numbers of years to count, but for the young people who have so much that lies ahead of them. I think that we need to know how to redeem time. And Psalms 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Okay. Notice that it says NIV 2011. Because NIV tend to upgrade. It's 1984, 1970, and onwards. So when you buy a new Bible now, a new NIV Bible, make sure that copyright is 2011 because they have upgraded it. But they don't tell you. So if you look at the cover, it looks the same. It's like Apple, you know. They upgrade the version, but they don't tell you because all the phones look the same. So, if you want to buy a new Bible, NIV Bible, get a 2011 version. That's the updated version. Okay. So, teach us to number our days. And to put that in context, what is Psalms 90? What does Psalms 90 teach us? Okay. The psalmist, which people tradition has attributed to Moses as the one who wrote the Psalms, begins with our blessing. That we receive blessing begins with who God is. A God that is not in time. Because first, God, if He's in time, God cannot be time because God created time. So God is beyond time. God is not part of time. Lord, You have been our dwelling place, our place of escape, our place of safety, of being. Throughout all generations. Before the mountains were, or You brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. From everlasting to everlasting, God is eternal. Okay. And then He goes to talk about God and time, and about life and death. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortal." Okay. It reminds us that our life is limited. Our life on earth is limited. No matter how much years you have ahead or how little, it's limited. And God's perception of time is different from ours. 1,000 years in your sight, it's like a day that's just gone by. Or like a watch in the night. Okay. We have to realize that time is a bit elastic. Okay. If you're waiting in the queue for the latest iPhone, okay, it will sound a long time. Time stretch, the 10-15 minutes stretch longer and becomes feel like eternity. Okay, but if you're sitting with your girlfriend or boyfriend, the 3 hours looks like 1 hour. So time is elastic. So it's like a watch in the night. If you're a doctor and you do night calls, okay, which is horrible, okay, so don't be a doctor. You do a night calls, can sound feel like eternity. Or, if it's a nice call, quiet call, you don't get called up, very short. Yet, you sweep people away in the sleep of death. Okay. What he means by the sleep of death is that we live our life aware that we're going to die. All of us die. Okay, my patients all die. I'm 100% mortality rate. I just hope they die later, not earlier. Okay? So the sleep of death, they are like new grass in the morning. In the morning it springs up, but by evening it's dry and withered. Telling that our life is just very short. Okay? It's like grass, a plant. Spring up in the morning, by evening dead. So life is short. And we have no control. We cannot control our life. Okay. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Okay. We are all sinners. Okay. We still sin. Even though we are saved by grace, we still do wrong. We still disobey God. And God sees us. Okay? We can hide from people. We can, from people who may try to be, oh, we are very nice and good, but yeah, God sees us. God sees what we do in private. Okay? And our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass and fly away. If only we know the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the truth fear that is your deal. Life is full of trouble and sorrow. Okay. That's why teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long would it be? Have compassion on your servant. Okay. It shows that we are all dependent on God. Satisfy in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we are in trouble. Life is hard, life is tough, but we are dependent on God. And the benediction, the Psalms ends with, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. It's very important to number, learn to how to live out our days. Now, 2 weeks ago, my father fell down. Okay, my father is 89 years old. So, when you're 89 years old, you know, you're a bit unsteady. So he fell down and he hit his head. There was a big hematoma and half his face was black. So I spent a lot of time talking to him. Okay. And 89 years old, and he still remembers his childhood. He came from a very poor family. His parents died early. They came from China and died early. So he was an orphan at a young age and was just shunted from relative to relative. He was not educated, but he was self-educated in a way that he learned to read and write by himself. And he can remember the days that he worked. He was apprenticed to work, and then he worked all the way up to become a factory manager. Okay, without any qualification. But then he also said that because he doesn't have any paper qualification, he was actually eased out by the company when somebody with a diploma came along. So he was actually let go. So his was a tough life. Okay, made tough by having a son like me. You know, I remember the earliest memory, it was about 4 or 5 years old. And my father loved to read. So he buy books. Okay, with his limited income, he buys books. And then he has a shelf that he will fill up with books. And then he will burn the books that he doesn't want to read and buy some more. Okay, so one day, and I remember we were in Penang at the time. And we were renting a room. And the shelf was full. So he had 2 piles of books. And one to be burned and one to keep, the one he loves. Okay, and then he says, okay, of course, the number one son, very helpful, eh? Okay. He want to take out the books to be burned. So, he said, okay, you take these books and burn. So I happily take all the books there and burn. Then at the end of it, he found that I took out all the books that he wanted and to keep. And what that was burned. And what was left behind was all the books he didn't want. I can't remember that after that what happened. You know, whether he scolded me or not. But I think that he laughed. I think that's what I remembered. Okay. Number one, helpful son burned all his good books. That's the man he is. And now, as he says, I can't do much. I can't even walk properly. And yet, I feel God with me. Okay. And that is the life of a man. Life that learn how to number our days and how to present to God a heart of wisdom. Okay. What do you mean by numbering our days? Because we know that life is short. Our days are few. Life is brief. And we do not know what will happen. Okay. My father was saying that, you know, now I find that the days are long, but the years are short. Because every day is long, but the years are very short. And if you look at it, our years are very short. We do not have many years. Okay. And they are uncertain. We do not know what will happen tomorrow or the next moment. So boast not of thyself of tomorrow. Okay. I do not know what is going to happen to me. This may be my last sermon to you. We do not know. Okay. But all we can know is that the prevalence of mortality, that means we all die in the end. And we all have to face God in the end. So that's how we number our days. So here, what the psalmist is trying to say is that life is brief and we have to present to God a heart of wisdom. So that's why we talk about redeeming time. Okay. What can we do with the years that we have? The short or long number of years, so that we can present to God a heart of wisdom. Okay? That we can use the time we have to give something to God that is of value. So what is this heart of wisdom? I would suggest that it means that this is the heart that if we grow to restore the image of God within us. That means we grow spiritually to restore the image of God. Okay, the distorted image of God that is inside us. That we use this to become a people of God as a community together. And we use this to be the transformative agent of God's mission. The mission there is God's mission. That means we become instrument of God to transform the world. Okay. And here, I want to highlight there two. The heart of flesh and the heart of wisdom. Okay. Remember, Jeremiah and Ezekiel says, you have a heart of stone, but I will change it to a heart of flesh. Okay. So that is what God gives us. The heart of flesh. Okay. You can call it justification. Okay. But this is the work of God alone. God has given us all a heart of flesh. Before that, we will have a heart of stone. But the heart of wisdom is something that we can build up. It's called sanctification. It means God and us work together to build up a heart of wisdom. And it's all this by grace. So the heart of wisdom is something that we can do. Because our choices have eternal consequences. Okay? What we choose to do now will affect us eternally. When we are in the, after we die, and when we are in the eternal state, we retain our faculties, we still remember who we are. So our choice has eternal consequences. And then, it's good to live our present life with minimal regrets. And one of the things that a lot of people are dying, it says that we have a lot of regrets. And some of the words they want to say to some people before they die, it's a very simple word. I love you. Forgive me. Thank you. Okay. Live a life with the least regrets. So I would suggest that to redeem time, there are four factors we want to consider. To redeem time. Rest, ceasing, feasting and embracing. Okay. To redeem time is to rest. Rest in the Sabbath. Have a Sabbath rhythm. What do we mean by that? In Genesis 1 to 5, the evening and the morning were the first day. And Leviticus was it. You know, the Jewish Sabbath, it starts in the Friday evening when the sun set. It goes through the whole of Saturday, and then it ends on Saturday evening when the sun set. Okay. And I was very curious about that. Why did it start on Friday evening? Why not, like, we all start on Sunday morning and end on Sunday evening? Okay. What do they do in Friday evening? When the sun set, they have a meal. And then after the meal, they rest. And then they go to sleep. Okay? So the Sabbath rhythm is always start from rest. And then after you wake up from your rest, then you start to do what you're supposed to do. Okay. Our life seems to start the other way. We start from doing first. And then we end up collecting in exhaustion. Okay. I think we need to rethink how we live our life. Do we come out of rest? Okay. Do we serve? That means everything we do in our life, we come out of rest. Or do we rush and then we collapse? Okay. I think it's important. Because if we come out of rest, you're more calm, you're more stable, and you can achieve more because you're rested and refreshed. And I think this is the rhythm of life that God wants for us. Okay. He doesn't want us to rush around like Hitler chicken. He wants us to come out of a time of rest. That's why the Sabbath always starts at night. That you sleep the whole night, and then you continue the rest of the Sabbath. And that's the rhythm of Sabbath for our life, Christian life, is that we come out of a time of rest. Rest in the Lord, rest, and then we do what we are supposed to do. That's it's a paradigm shift in our thinking, in our time management. Okay. And the second thing is rest in prayer. We come from the rest in prayer. You know, when we pray, we are actually giving the things to the Lord. So when we give the things to the Lord, we should be free. Okay. It's like, you know, you're carrying a heavy box and then you give it to the Lord. Lord, take my box. Thank you. Then you pray, Lord, thank you very much for taking my box. Now I'm free. And then you take back the box. And that's what we do, isn't it? We refuse to let go. We refuse to commit it to God because we want to be in control. That's why our life is so full of frustration and fear and anger and all that. It's because we do not let go. We pray, yes, we pray. Because we're supposed to pray, isn't it? But we pray, but we don't let go and release it to the Lord. And says, Lord, take it. No, we just hold on back. You know, Lord, take it. But we're still holding it. We should let go. And let the Lord take care of it. That's why, if you want to redeem your time, you have to have a rhythm of rest. Start from rest. And start to let go. That means, trust in the Lord, that Lord will take care of things for you. That means, learn to let go of your control. Okay, don't be so control. Don't be a control freak. The second one is to cease. Cease from a hurried life. Okay, there's a difference between a life that is busy and hurried. Okay, let me illustrate from this from Luke 10. You know Mary and Martha, isn't it? Jesus' disciples were on their way. They came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha has a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he says. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord says, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not take it from her. Okay. Very familiar to us. Okay. And this is a painting, okay, about Mary and Martha. You know, Martha is busy, Mary is sitting down here. And there's a difference between a busy life and a hurried life. A busy life is that you have a lot of things to do. Okay. You have about 10 things to do per that day. So you need to do it. Okay. The difference between Mary and Martha is that Martha is in a hurry. She wants to do so many things. Okay. In that time, in that age, the house is actually one common room where the visitor sits in the sitting room and the kitchen is actually at the other corner of the room and the other corner is the bedroom. So, visitors come, they talk. The ladies who are preparing the food can hear. That means everybody hears what they're going on. It's like, you know, sometimes when we talk in the, when my family talks in the living room, and then my wife Agnes says, I can hear you from the kitchen. It's the same thing. So in the room, when Jesus is talking, Martha can hear. And everybody can hear. But the fact that the Luke was saying is that Martha can hear, but she was not hearing because she was distracted over many things. Okay, so she was so busy doing things that she's not listening. So the point that Luke was trying to make is that you must listen to Jesus no matter how busy you are. And that is the way, the hurried life and the busy life. Okay, the busy life is that you have many things to do. The hurried life is that you have many things to do, but you're so stressed that you want to do it quick. You want to finish it. So you become so involved in the completion of the tasks that you get emotionally affected, you are physically affected. Okay, that's why, you know, most of us live very hurried life. That's why we are emotionally stressed out, exhausted by the end of the day. Okay, we get very irritated that things don't go our way. Things don't fast enough. The window tents don't load fast enough. Okay, we get physically exhausted and tired at the end of the day because all our emotional resources have been used up. Temporality means time. When you're in a hurry, you do not live in the present. You're always living in the future or the past. That means your mind and body is here, but your mind is always in the future. What you need to complete this task by this time. And Martin Heidegger is a philosopher in the 20th century. He says that if you are in a hurry, you're in a rush, you actually lose part of your soul. And if you are in a hurried life, you actually lose yourself. So there's a difference between busyness and in a hurried life. A hurried life, you can be busy, you can do all these things without being hurried. Okay. So that's why we should aim to be busy, but not to be hurried. And this takes this effort not to be hurried. Now you think that it sounds easy and all that, but it takes time. Try not to be hurried. 10 things you can do it. You can do it. Okay, but the hurry part is the one that kills you, and the one that kills your spiritual life. So you want to present a life that is growing, a life that is pleasing to God. Do not be hurried. Can be busy, but do not be hurried. And cease from following the world. Yeah, I don't know how many of you have seen this movie. You all know that it's a movie, eh? You all look so blur. Superman versus Batman. Or is it Batman versus Superman? Okay. Cease from following the world. Because all our lives, the world has been talking to us. The world has been giving us a language that we learn very young. To teach us to be consumers. To teach us that our value are based on what we possess, what we achieve. Okay. So, stop listening to the world. Listen to the word of God that tells you that you are a son of or child of God. You are worthy because God loves you. Okay. So, learn to cease from listen to the wrong language. Okay. Don't cease from listening to the world. Because the world will tell you many things. Okay. And then, number three, feast. Feasting, abundant life. Okay. Numbers are our days, but God has blessed us in many ways. Okay. So, learn to enjoy your life. Okay. Don't defer too much. You know, so that you don't nowadays, now when you are everything, do give sacrifice for your children and all that. Fair enough. But learn to enjoy life as it is. And you know that things that make you happy are not the complex, expensive things. It's the simple things that make you happy. Learn to enjoy the abundant life that you have. All you are having at this moment. Even though you face problems, you have issues and all that, you still have things to be thankful for, to be joyful about. The fifth. Learn to enjoy moments. Okay, you can see that this is my family when we're young. I actually have hair and they're black. And if you look back in your life, you find that what our life is actually moments. Okay, moments of important moments. And so we learn to enjoy and feast on the moments. Okay, the moment, remember when I first met Agnes in Form 6. Okay, yeah, she's the prettiest girl in class. And I always love rainy days. You know why? Because I can borrow her umbrella. See? We can share umbrella. So that's the only time we can walk close together. Enough for to shade in the shade, don't get wet. And sometimes to protect her, I even put my hand around her shoulder. That's why I teach my children, never share an umbrella with a stranger. I remember the first time, you know, when I took the Agnes urine to test and come positive, my first daughter, you know, I was so happy. It was in Sungai Manyar. And I remember walking from the pit ward to the lab test and positive. So I was so happy, you know. I was saying, oh, I'm a father now. I was got knocked down by a car. And I remember the truck, both my daughters were born. I was the pediatrician on standby. You know, when the baby is born, the first face my daughter sees is mine. I don't trust other pediatricians to stand by for my children. Okay. These are moments. Okay. Moments in your life that you should cherish. Okay. Because whether they are long or short, these are the what is made up of your life moments. And relationship. Okay. What is important and what is beautiful is how we relate to other people. Our friends, our spouse, our families. Relationship, that's important. Okay? Because you find that what actually comes down to the value of your life are the moment you spend, how you use your time, how you enjoy what God has given you, and how do you build relationship with people who God has placed in your life. The people, relationships are one that builds you up and cherish. And relationship is high maintenance. It doesn't come automatic. And just because you marry someone, sign the paper, means he's yours or she is yours for life, then you don't have to do anything. It's a lifelong commitment. Takes time, takes commitment, takes a lot of forgiveness, a lot of trust and love. Okay? Because you find that what it bears down to is relationship. Okay? And the best time of your life is to love somebody and be loved by somebody. These are what important in your life, that you learn to number your days. To embrace to grow in Christ, what I call spiritual formation or discipleship or spiritual growth. Okay. And the approach I would use is what I call the Shalom approach. Yeah. That if you want to grow spiritually, these are the factors that you need. That you need to be telling stories. Remember, I said that we listen to the world tells stories. Now we listen to the Bible and the Christian community. What stories they tell? Our communion with God. Okay. How do we abide in Christ? These are the elements that we need so that we can grow in Christ. Action, how to minister to others. Learning, how to live in the Word. Community, fellowship, and witness. So these are the the approach, the different elements that help us to grow spiritually so that we can grow into Christ-likeness. Okay. And to embrace the seasons of life. Okay. Seasons of life is actually, you know, there are different aspects. You know, here there are four seasons: children, adulthood, okay, family, and old age. Okay, I'm sorry this is too complex, but what actually it means is that there are different periods in our life, different transition periods. That's important. So that means there's a season for us to grow as children, as youth. There's a season to grow for as young adults. Build a structure for your family and career. There's also a time for you to grow, build up your family. And then it's time to build your career. And there's a time when you let go. Your legacy is with your legacy. And this different ages group. And all of us are in different eras, different periods. Okay? And to number our days means that we have to recognize where we are and to embrace the stage of life where we are in. Okay, young people, you know, get to know somebody and get married. Okay, people, your family, your mission is your children. Okay, let them grow, help them to grow. Okay, and when they're older, they leave home, then your mission is to each other again. You know, so that you get to know your spouse again, because after having children for 19 years, you don't know each other already. They have become strangers. Okay. And after your children has all left home, okay, you can start again. There's another season of your life that you can do other things. Okay. You can travel. Okay, and I said go and travel before you get too old to travel. Your legs cannot move. Or you can move into another phase of ministry. You know, your children's education is paid off, your mortgage is paid off. Maybe you should think of more time in Christian work, in church work, or volunteer for some organization. So different phases of our life, we have different things to do. And that is how we number our days. Our days are short. Okay. But we redeem time by rest, by ceasing to do things that we are not supposed to do, by feasting on things that is of value, and embracing our spiritual growth. And that is what we mean by a heart of wisdom. Okay? There's always not enough time. But to everyone, there's only 24 hours. Nobody gets an extra hour a day. Even so, some people think I get 25 hours a day, but I actually get only 24 hours a day. But redeem our time. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your reminder that we need to redeem our time. We need to start from rest. Have a sabbatical rhythm. We need to cease from trying to be too hurried to live a life that is calm and centered in spite of our busyness. We need to feast on all the things you have given us. And we need to embrace our growth into being like your Son. And embrace the seasons of our life so that we can present to you a heart of wisdom. Bless us, Lord. And help us, each one of us, to develop a heart of wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.